Hey now, and welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. We've got a special guest today. We've got Iowa Hawkeye golfer Leah Zeitler today. How are you doing today?
Hi guys, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Jack, I know you were curious too about this. So when we did some background research on you, we saw that you started playing golf around the age of 10, if I'm correct.
It was seven.
Oh, seven?
Yeah.
Seven. Okay. So at that early of an age, why did you want to pick up a golf club?
I just felt like I had an instant connection to the game. Like my grandpa took me to the golf course and I just felt like this was the right place for me. I can't really describe the feeling or how I ended up being a golfer. But it was just like, I could say love on the first sight. That's how I felt as soon as I went to the golf course for the first time and I knew this would be my sport.
Yeah, it's very cool. So what's your first memory of picking up a golf club or, you know, practicing at an early age and like what kind of drew you to it?
I actually still have the exact moment in my head when I first walked to a golf course and when I first picked up the golf club. I remember it was with my grandparents in Czech Republic and my grandpa started working on a golf course. So he showed us around and I remember it was this long walk to the clubhouse and he just was like, yeah, this is the golf course. This is where I work now. And I was like, oh, cool. Can I play? So luckily they had like clubs for me. I was like seven. I was a little kid. So I picked up a club. There was a golf teacher there that showed me how to grip the club, what to do. And from that moment on, I fell in love with the game and I started playing.
You've referred to the place that you grew up overseas as paradise, but you've as well referred as Iowa City as paradise. Do you mind, you know, talking a little about that and how they're both paradise?
So home is obviously home for me. That's Austria. That's where I grew up, where my family is, where I lived all my life. But I knew I always wanted to come to the United States because I just really like your guys' mentality and the opportunities you have here. And Iowa City just feels like home and paradise to me. When I go home and I'm home for longer than 2 months, I kind of get sick of it and I want to go back to Iowa City. That's how much I love it here. It's just the opportunities I get from my coaches and my teammates and from the whole program is outstanding, and I could not imagine myself being somewhere else and being on a different team.
So what was your recruiting process like? Because you had a very different process than most Division I athletes, you know, being an international recruiting process. So how did it start? How did you come into contact with Iowa? Kind of take us through that.
So I actually visited five colleges and I visited three before I came to Iowa. And my whole process was just like, I was looking at colleges, I was sending out like applications, like for a job, because people didn't really have me on a radar anymore because I'm a little older than usual freshmen. So yeah, I just sent out applications and I got an answer back from Iowa. And I was just like, oh, that seems like a cool place. And I knew Mike, he was an assistant coach at Idaho, so he knew me from back in the days in 2014 where I played in Europe, and he knew my game. He knew me as a player and he saw me before. So I was like, this is a great opportunity to maybe get in contact and just see how it goes. And so this was my fourth stop on my tour. I took a 10-day tour through America with my dad. It was very intense. And yeah, I came to Iowa and it was minus degrees. It was so cold. There was a blizzard. We didn't know if we could even land with the plane. And I was like, I stepped outside. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is like home. Maybe this is going to be a good thing. And he took me through campus. He showed me everything. And I just fell in love with the atmosphere here, with obviously all the opportunities we get here as a student athlete are just amazing. And so, yeah, I just, as I said, as it was with golf, it was love at first sight. And I just fell in love immediately. And I knew this is going to be my place.
So when you step on foot on campus in Iowa City, Iowa, coming all the way from Austria, what were you thinking when you first were coming to Iowa? Like, what were your expectations before you even visited, and what surprised you once you stepped foot on campus?
I didn't really have expectations because I never really, so before I started the whole process of like touring around and visiting campuses, I didn't really have, like, I just had the pictures out of the movies, obviously, because I've never been to an American campus. So I didn't really have like a lot of knowledge or experience. So I just like, I went there and was like, okay, you just see how it goes and you see what is there and then you just soak it up. And here in Iowa, I felt like the little town we have, like Iowa City, is so friendly and the shops are great, the restaurants are great. And it's just such a cool student town. And just the atmosphere, and I mean, the fact that it snowed, it was really cold, but I just like enjoyed everything because I wanted a place that has seasons, which reminds me a little bit of home and gives me a little bit more of connection to my hometown. So I just, as I said before, I just stepped foot on campus and was like, wow, this is amazing. I want to live here. This is great.
Is there any difference, an immediate difference that you saw when you came here between the golf culture in Austria and the golf culture here in America?
There is a huge difference between our golf culture and the one here in America. That's why I also wanted to be here in the States, because golf is so much more appreciated. Not like, it's growing more and more in Austria, obviously, and we have great players on tour and we're getting more and more people engaged into the game. But just the way all like American people look at the sport and how there's a golf channel. I mean, I don't have a golf channel in Austria. My TV is literally on the golf channel 24/7. And I feel like that's the most exciting thing ever. So it's just like the little things and how people appreciate you as a golf player and how they ask, how almost everyone knows what golf is. Like, I've got asked questions a lot in Austria, like back in the days when I was in high school, like, is this even a sport? Like, what are you really doing? Are you just touring and traveling the world? Like, are you even playing? And you will never have this conversation here in America, because people know what golf is. People know what it takes to be a great athlete golfer, to be on the top of the leaderboard every time, how much work it takes and how much effort. And I think that's what I appreciate so much about this culture, is that they know what it takes to be an outstanding athlete, not only in golf, like in general. I feel like they know what it takes and they know how much work you put in. And that's why they appreciate it so much when you're successful. And that's what I'm kind of missing a little bit, just in general in the Austrian culture, is most people just don't know what it takes to actually be a golfer.
With that appreciation here among just anybody you come across appreciating the sport you play, when you're training and coming across people here, have you seen a change in your work ethic when you're around such positivity or appreciation for what you're doing compared to if you're at home, you know, maybe less people are aware of the hard work you're putting in?
It's definitely shifted, since also like college gives you this whole structure and lays out the plan for you. I mean, we have practice 6 times a week. We work out 4 to 5 times a week, and then you go to the gym by yourself and you have this whole schedule laid out for you. And it's definitely forcing you to be a better athlete and to make sure you are doing your best job every single day. And that has like helped me a lot. I think I've done a pretty good job before, but it's definitely taken me to the next level of work ethic. And me as an athlete is just having this constant feedback, and also this schedule laid out that you have to invest into every single day.
What's been more challenging for you in your career so far, Big Ten or, you know, like American college play and competition, or the competition you've seen in Europe that you've faced?
I think we have great competition in Europe. And as you probably know, that a lot of European players are playing in America. So I think it's kind of like a mixture right now. So we have amazing players in Europe. There are amazing players, obviously, all over the world. So I don't think it's necessarily the level of competition that is so much different, but it's just there are a lot of more different courses here in the US. You get to play on different grass every single week. And I feel like I'm just lacking the diversity a little bit in Europe. And also by the time like you, I played a lot of years in Europe, like all the international amateur events, and you just get, you meet the same people every time. And here I'm still seeing myself meeting girls I've never seen before because they come from all over the world. And I think this just shows you and gives you a indication of where you stand as a player, and you can just compare yourself better to other players and where you need to work on and what you need, what steps you need to take next.
Speaking of that time investment that you've made into the sport, you've been a part of the Austrian national team for about 10 years now. Talk a little bit about that and how much of a time commitment and investment you've made into this team and what it's done for you now that you're in your early adulthood, still, you know, playing for your country.
It is a little bit different being part of the national team than being in college golf, because we basically we are all spread out over Austria. We don't get to see each other like every day. So here in college, obviously, we practice together 6 times a week. We see each other every single day. We study together. We hang out together. So we're basically a family. And in a national team, it's a little bit different. Like you maybe go on training trips like 2 to 3 times a year and see each other at different tournaments. So you don't always travel together. You don't really practice together because we're just so spread out all over the country. So it's a different environment. It's more like the national team opens you certain doors, and obviously it's a big deal being part of it and representing your country in different championships, but it's a different environment than being in college golf.
So you've talked about, speaking of camaraderie and, you know, relationships and team environment. So even though you're a sophomore, you're an older member of the team. So
I'm the oldest member of the team.
So what has that been like for you from a leadership standpoint or from a chemistry standpoint of building those relationships with your teammates and getting the respect?
For me, it's like I always consider myself being a little old. I always joke around, like my teammates would be like, oh, you're the grandma of the team and stuff like that. But it's like I am glad that I'm at this stage in my life and that I am a little bit older and more mature, because I know I would not have been ready for all of this back when I was 18. I was just not ready and not mature enough to put in the work and keep up with the schedule and be a good teammate. So I'm really happy that I took my time and decided to come to college now, because I feel like I can take the most out of it now. And it's just nice because we have so many different players on the team from different countries, from different parts of the US, different ages, different classes. So we all bring different perspectives to the team. And I think that is really important. We are very diverse and we're just trying to feed off of each other, and everyone contributes something to the team. And I think that's what makes us really outstanding and great.
When you go back and think about a round that you've just played, do you remember each hole vividly, or do you try to just move on to the next event or the next hole? Or do you sit back and replay those holes and those shots in your head?
It really depends on the situation. I actually struggle a lot in college with the numbers of the holes, because we always do like shotgun starts, and then I start on 14 like 3 days in a row, and I think that's the number one hole. And someone asks me like, oh, so what did you play on two? And I'm like, what hole is that again? I can't remember. That's been really hard on me. Like, I never know the numbers now and the order of the holes, but it just depends. And it always, like, I feel like golf players tend to like courses better where they play well. So I mostly just, or you have a hole that you played really terribly on and you remember it for the rest of your life. But I can pretty much recall every course and hole we played during like last year's season and also back in the day. So that's just like, you just have that in the memory as a golfer, and you just remember these kind of things.
What's your favorite American course you've played, and what's your favorite international course you've played, or European?
A really good question. I really love the course we played in New Orleans. I think it was called English Turn. I'm not quite sure about that. But we played this one. It was, I think, the first tournament in spring. That was a really fun course. And also Old Waverly in Mississippi was like one of the hardest courses I've played in my career. I still remember it really well because it was really hard. And a good course in, I really love my home course. It is in the middle of the Alps. It has great scenery. People always get jealous when I post on my stories on Instagram of my views. I really just like how it's laid out and how it's in the middle of the forest. And you just play up nine holes and you have a little like cabin up there where you can get lunch. So I really like that place. And one of my favorite courses I played like ever was probably Torrey Pines. That was really fun. A really good experience.
That's cool. So how do you go about strategizing when you're on the golf course in the middle of a match? Do you kind of play it, you know, shot for shot, hole for, like, how do you, what's kind of your mindset as you go about a match?
I think the most important thing for me especially is just sticking to my routine. And I love what my assistant coach says, Mike. He always says, take the emotions out of it. Just try to write your numbers down, pick a club, and just do your job. Like, just don't get over that. Like, don't overanalyze. I am like, I love keeping things simple. I hate when things get too complicated. I always like head out the door when things get too intense. I'm like, let's just keep this simple. The game is complicated enough. So I just try to write down my numbers, pick my club and commit to my process. And just, I think, a good course management is really important because that can gain you so many strokes on the field, because some things you just don't have to hit driver on every hole, or you can see the layout of the course and see where this will go and what you have to hit just to like, just don't make any mistakes. Like, don't make course management mistakes, because these can be avoided so easily. So it's just the process and sticking to the course management and just taking the emotions out of it, and then we should be good to go.
In your game, what do you think are your greatest strengths, and what do you think are your greatest weaknesses?
Strengths, I would say my long game, basically my irons, always have been a good strength of mine. I can hit the ball, I wouldn't say really far, but I can hit the ball far, and I have good compression behind the ball. So I think that's one of my strengths. And well, weakness is a little bit, my head gets in the way from time to time. I have a bit of trouble like believing and just sticking to the process, sometimes just keeping up the focus. But I think we all go through this at some point. And it's just working on these weaknesses. I wouldn't really call them weaknesses, but just like working on things that are less of a strength and just taking them along, and just, you just have to invest every single day in every part of your game to be your best at the end. And that's what I'm trying to do every day.
So how do you, from a day-to-day standpoint, work on those to improve yourself or improve your game through training or through practicing or just through playing matches? What's kind of the way you go about that?
It just depends on what week it is. Obviously, if we have a tournament or not, or if it's just off season, if we're in season, it just depends a little bit on where we're at in the season or where I'm at right now. But it's just, we practice 6 times a week. I work out 6 times a week. I have a schedule made from my strengthening coach back home. And then with Coach Maxwell, we work 2x a week. So that's pretty much set in stone. And then golf wise, it's just what I feel like doing. I try to obviously do my short game every day, work a little bit on technique, try to play a lot, do games, because I'm a player who loves practicing and hitting balls. I could hit balls all day long. And my coaches just want me to get out and play more. So I'm trying to listen to them, obviously, and go more to the course and put my skills on the golf course and not so much on the driving range. But it's just for me, repeating and hitting a lot of balls just makes me very comfortable, and just sticking to my drills that I know that work gives me the confidence I need to be successful on the golf course.
Can you take us through your schedule a little bit? Because as somebody who has seen your social media posts, I'll see in the morning you hitting balls, and I'll see at 6 p.m. at night you're back out there hitting balls. So it just seems like you're constantly out doing something golf related, or you have golf on, like what you said, the Golf Channel, there's always posts related to that. So can you kind of take us through training, working out, balancing school, all that type of stuff?
Yeah. So as I said, I love putting in the work. I love working out. It's one of my, I made this to one of my favorite things in the world. And so I would get up every morning around like 6 o'clock, a little bit depends on how the whole day's lay out. But normally I would either go to the golf course early or work out in the morning and then just practice for 3.5-4 hours. And then depending on how much schoolwork I have, which is a lot right now, so I can't put in that much work, but I would be on the golf course and either work out after or before. And it's just, yeah, it's a constant cycle, and I do it every day, but not because I have to, because I love to. And then I would get lunch. We would meet to study, and then you'll just try to get into bed early and do it all over again.
Did you take any break, if at all, during the beginning parts of this 2020 because of the pandemic, or did you still find time every day to get swings or something golf related in?
So I was actually, when season got canceled, I was in Iowa City for another month because things in Austria were pretty bad and they were under full lockdown. So I said, okay, I'm going to be here a little longer because I can go outside and I can be here, which is better at this moment. So I actually was alone in my apartment for a month, which was very, very hard sometimes, but I still managed to get my workout in every day. I started actually running. I never ran before in my entire life. So the quarantine made me a runner. I still would not consider myself a runner because it's still really, really hard for me, but I'm getting used to it slowly. And yeah, I would just get up in the morning, run, go outside, get some air, then work out after, just making the day as short as possible, go to bed early. And I did actually some indoor lessons in my apartment with my coach from Spain. We would FaceTime each other, and I went to Target one day and just bought every indoor golf gadget they had. Like, I bought a little mat and plastic balls, and I put like my vacuum cleaner to the window and threw like a little blanket on so that I could hit balls into. So that's what I tried to do. And I bought a little putting mat, so I putted a lot, which was great because I wanted to work on my putting anyways. And I actually changed my grip during quarantine, which helped me a lot. So that was actually a really good change. So I just tried every day to get in a little bit of work. I knew it was not going to be the same work I did outside of golf, but I think for all of us, it was a great lesson, and it was something we could learn from, obviously, and then helped me in like my putting, for example, and in some other aspects too, to grow and to develop myself, even though I had to be inside.
You basically made your own little golf course in your apartment.
I sent my roommate a picture. There were golf balls all over the living room. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I will clean all of this up before you come. She goes like, what are you doing? I'm like, I need something to work on. Like, I need to play. I can't be like this anymore. So it was really funny. And everyone was like, if you ever go in quarantine, you'll be fine because you have all the stuff in your apartment so you can play. So yeah, I tried to take the most out of it and try to make it work.
If you could make your own golf course like you did in your apartment, but in real life, like a full-blown golf course, what would it look like? What features would you have, like physical landscape? What would it be?
Wow, I actually never thought about this before. That's a really interesting question. I think a good golf course has to have like a signature hole. I want a hole with an amazing view where all the people can take pictures, because that's like really important, I think, just to promote your golf course and just to see, just to have this one hole where everyone knows it's there and everyone wants to play because of this hole. But it should be, I think it should be a very diverse course. I love when courses have different aspects and you really know all of the holes because they're so different. because some courses are just every hole is the same and you struggle to really combine the numbers with actually the holes. But I wanted to be really diverse and then have really far back tees, like championship tees, but also like tees for kids so that they can go out and play sometimes with their families. So it's just a very family friendly, but a good championship course. And I think a really important aspect are greens. The greens have to be really fast and tricky, which every good golf course should have, I think.
So you talked about being in Iowa at the start of the pandemic, and then you went back to Austria. So what was it like training throughout the extended summer in Austria, preparing for the following season? What was that kind of like training in the middle of a pandemic?
My plan turned out to be perfect because I flew home on, I think it was April 26th, and golf courses open on May 1st. So I had to take two COVID tests to not have to go into quarantine. So I did that. And actually on May 1st, I was good to go and I could do my normal things. I could practice normally. It was great. So I was trying to kind of find a loophole to get all around this the best way possible. And I actually did. And I was really happy about it because I was like, I cannot be in the house another 3 weeks. Like I need to play golf and go outside. So I actually managed to have a really good plan. And on May 1st, I was good to go and was able to get into normal practice and had a pretty good summer.
What is the most memorable tournament and travel experience you've had since you began your career at Iowa?
Okay, all of our travel experiences are memorable. I mean, this team is just hilarious. You will have laughter all the time. We will tell jokes every single minute. So traveling with this team is always an adventure. And I think I really liked going to Mexico because just I've never been there. And it was just a great experience just to see another part of the world. I've also never been to South America. So that was like my very first time going somewhere else for the first time in a very, very long time. Because when you're from Europe, you just are used to travel to different countries on a regular basis. So that was really exciting. And also just traveling through the US and just seeing so many different aspects and cities, like every place you go to is different. And that's what I really think is cool. And to have this opportunity traveling with your second family and having so much fun while playing golf and exploring different cities, I mean, that's a pretty, pretty cool deal. And I'm so happy that I'm able to experience all of this.
What's been the most memorable tournament for you that you've played?
I think it was the very first tournament I played as a Hawkeye, which was in Wisconsin. I came back from a 1 year break I had to take because of certain rules. So I wasn't able to compete in a year. I was really nervous, obviously, going into tournament, not knowing where my game was at because I haven't competed. I knew I put a lot of work in and I knew I could play well, but I had to perform. And I know I didn't have a lot of expectations myself, but I knew obviously that people expected something from me. And I was just so happy. It was also my first time playing 36 holes in a row. It was so funny because coach was like, yeah, so you're going to play 36 here. You both score. Cause I'm like, okay, so when are we going to meet for lunch? And she was like, no, Leah, we're going to meet at 6 p.m. like after you're done. I'm like, wait, there's not going to be any lunch? She goes like, yeah, but I'll bring it to you. And you just literally play 36 holes in a row. And I'm like, wow, I'm not sure if I can do this. So that was really funny. It was my first college tournament. I was like, I am so overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I haven't played 36 in a row ever. So that was pretty funny and pretty memorable. But just like, I remember that day, my assistant coach Mike was with me on the last hole of the day. And I just remember holding that last putt and I played really well. And I was just so relieved, like all of the tension from that whole year not being able to play, having so many people like supporting me, but also like wondering where's she going to be? Like, what is going to happen? Is she going to come back stronger? So that was just a huge relief. And from there on, I was just able to take one step at a time and just enjoy what I'm doing and just know, okay, the things you're working on are the right things and you can trust your process and it's going to be all right. So that was a pretty, pretty memorable moment and probably one of my best experience yet.
What are the biggest changes and adjustments or differences that kind of go between fall and spring seasons for you? What's that period like? Are they, do they feel different when you play them, you know, play in the different months and stuff, or are they kind of the same just with different seasons and conditions?
I think it's pretty hard for me to analyze this like 100% because our spring season got cut short and I didn't really have a full spring season yet. But this was always how it was for me back in Austria. Like we would always have a pretty, like we would have the season from March to like October more or less. And then a little bit of a longer break. So it's not that different. It's just, I haven't experienced the championship season yet to the full extent. So I think obviously if I had to choose one, it would be spring because all the championships are there. And I really hope we get to play them next spring and we can actually have the full schedule. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Has golf ever given you a moment where you've been starstruck and seeing someone that you've watched play or someone who's talked to you about your game? Has anyone ever given you that feeling?
You mean someone talked about my about
like
me?
Like anyone like that you've ran into like on a golf course or at a tournament or a coach or just anyone that said something or acknowledged you that you've saw that was a big surprise for you?
I think I haven't seen anyone in person that told me something about myself or just told me something in general, but what really impressed me was when Sophia Popov, the German girl, won the British Open a couple of weeks ago. That was kind of like a moment for myself where I was a bit struggling and she came out of a really bad stretch and she was 300 in the world and ended up winning a major out of nowhere. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I want to be there one day. And this just gave me literally in this time, the extra push. And just, I've never really had a real role model in golf or someone I would say, hey, this is like my favorite person, or we all look up to them no matter who it is, but just her background story and what she did and where she came from and what she ended up doing is, I think, one of the best stories in golf. And I just look up to her so much and I can relate to her a lot. So this has been kind of my moment where I'm like, oh, I might as well finally found a golf role model in my life. And that's her. Yeah.
Well, what is her story, if you don't mind me asking? I'm not familiar with her. So
she's just been through a really rough patch. Like we're all struggling sometimes and she just kept on fighting and she missed a couple of tour schools by one shot and the cards and stuff. So it's just like she came out of a really long fight and was close to quitting golf actually, and just got this opportunity to play in this British, was nowhere close to being a favorite or nowhere on the list. And she ended up winning and now she has a full status and everyone's looking up to her. And I just feel just the things she said, she actually has a podcast which I try to listen to every day because it's so enlightening and just opens my eyes every time, where she just says, just never, ever give up. Like, no matter how bad it is, it's going to be better and you still have a chance to be the best you can and you still have a chance to win. And that's just, I think that's the extra motivation we all sometimes need. It's just like, yeah, it's a bad stretch and yeah, it sucks. Like, you're going to be hurt. You're going to cry. You're going to want to scream, gonna break clubs probably. But in the end, it's just like, if you don't give up and you just give yourself this extra push and you just keep developing yourself every single day and just try to give your best, there is going to be something at the end that's worth fighting for.
What pushes you and drives you?
I just, the love for the game, obviously it's been with me since 15 years now. It's my life. I am Leah with golf and golf is Leah. Like, there's no Leah without golf right now. So it's just my sport. And what drives me is holding a trophy by the end of the day, is holding a major championship trophy. And I want to be number one player in the world. I want to compete against the best, and I want to hold that trophy at the one of the day. And I want to inspire others. I want to be that girl that was like, oh, she had a lot of bad stretches, but she came out stronger, and she did it, and she worked hard every single day. And that's what drives me. I want to be inspiring others to work harder every day and to have the same dreams. And also, like, when I work with kids back home, it's just like, yeah, it's fun and it's really, really hard sometimes, but it's all worth it in the end if you really want it. And it's just a love for the game and just trying to, yeah, I'm just trying to win and be the best version of myself every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one thing that I know you enjoy in your free time is playing tennis. That's something you're pretty into. So what are, you know, we've talked a lot about golf and how golf obsessed you really are. So what are things like tennis, and what are some other hobbies or activities you do when you're off of the golf course to give yourself a break, or that mental, like that mental break to just reconnect and stay energized or whatever you need?
I'm so glad I started playing tennis now, because I am struggling to answer this hobby question every time someone asks me. It's like, I have no time for hobbies. So I started playing tennis. I actually played tennis before I started playing golf for 7 years. My mom was a professional tennis player, and actually my whole family is into tennis. Like, no one plays golf. So I don't know how I ended up here. But it's just like, it's always been in my family. And I found actually like a friend here in Iowa City that plays with me a lot. And I try to play once a week to get away from my obsession with my schedule and from just the workouts and just the golf and just the school. It's really helped me to get away from the everyday stress and just to get my mind off like technique stuff in golf, or just in general stuff that stresses me out. So I've been trying to do this on a regular basis, because it's fun. You're doing something for your health, and it's super cool, like competing against other people. And I just love the way tennis is played and how it makes you feel. And yeah, other hobbies I have is I really like going to the movies from time to time. I do this more when I'm back home. I don't really have time here. But other than that, I'm hanging out with my friends more often. I just try. That's a really an area of growth for me, is trying to get away a little bit from being stuck in this. I wouldn't say I'm stuck, but other people are telling me I'm stuck sometimes in the schedule, and allowing myself to have a little bit more freedom from time to time. So I'm working on that.
Yeah. So being on campus at Iowa, what are your favorite things about living in Iowa, being in Iowa? Was there any hesitation about moving to the United States and making such a big move like that? Or was it just full throttle, like you were ready for the experience?
Actually, I told my parents when we went to Florida for the first time when I was 10 that I'm going to live here one day. So they kind of knew that this was coming up, because I stick to my plans. So my parents knew that I'm going to be out of the house sometimes and far away, because I was like, I'm not going to stay in Austria forever. Like, this is not going to happen. I was fully ready when I signed with Iowa, and when I knew I'm going to have an apartment and stuff, I was fully ready to go. I started packing bags 2 months before, because I was so excited and I couldn't wait anymore. And just being here on campus and just living the student athlete life is an experience that no one can ever take away from me. And I think it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten. And I am so proud to be here, and I'm so proud to be a Hawkeye, and I don't think there's anything better.
When you tell your friends in Austria you live in Iowa, what are their reactions and what are their thoughts? Do they have to Google it up, or do they think you're crazy? Like, what goes through their minds?
The first thing is normally the Google. There's like, oh, Iowa, okay. And I'm like, yeah, Iowa City, just look closer. So yeah, they don't really know where that place is, but that's fine. I'm just telling them always it's a great student town. If you want to visit me, we're going to have a lot of fun. And Chicago's really close, so we can drive to Chicago and spend a few days there. So Yeah, they mostly have to look it up, but my friends are very supportive and they just love that they know that I'm so happy here and they know that I'm living my dream. So they're all going to come visit me one day when the pandemic is over.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I really want to thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast. And Jack, do you have any more questions?
No, this was awesome. I'm really happy you came on. This is a great, for a lot of people who don't follow golf, and you're a female golfer from international. So you gave a really great story that I'm sure a lot of people are going to find interesting.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my time on here.
Of course. Jack, do you want to close out the show?
Of course. All right, guys, you know the drill. Not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.